Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to VidFriends Podcast, Living Life and Love. I'm your host, Mark Braxton from Raleigh, North Carolina. VidFriends is a national vitiligo support community founded by Valerie Mullineau. For information about VidFriends, vitiligo, support groups for youth, teens, and adults, ways you can support our vitiligo initiative, and how you can donate to our organization, visit us at www.vitfriends.org. For questions and comments, you can email us at support@vitfriends.org. I would like to welcome my guest today, Justin Hall. Welcome, Justin.
Hey, how you guys doing? How you doing?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Can't complain. So, Justin, before we get started, welcome to the show, but I want you to introduce yourself and tell our listeners where you're from.
Okay, well, great. My name is Justin Hall, of course. I am from Atlanta, Georgia. I mean, I guess I am technically from Central Florida, but I've lived in Atlanta, Georgia the last 20 years, so I consider myself a Atlantean at this point. I have probably experienced vitiligo for about the last 23 years. Started
right.
Roughly my senior year in high school, 17 years old, and but I will freely admit I probably wasn't active in the vitiligo community till about 2014-15.
Right. Hey, you know, and I do find that that's kind of typical. You know, sometimes we don't get active until later. Now, you said you all started about, you said 20 plus years. What was that like when you started noticing your spots coming up?
Well, for me, I was a high school and then college football, basketball player. And I'd had, I first noticed them towards the end of a basketball season, probably my senior year in high school. But as a basketball player, you're diving for balls. So I had several floor burns.
Right.
If you've ever played any sport, a floor burns when you slide across a wood gym floor and it essentially takes the skin off. Looks like a burn. So I had a couple of those on my elbow. And I noticed that when at the time they should have, I guess, been healed at that point, I had two white circles. About the size of a nickel on each elbow. And I just assumed, oh, that's interesting. I guess it just didn't heal. But it was a space where, you know, I was one of those players that, you know, I hustled a lot. I dived for a lot of balls. So I figured, well, maybe it's because I keep getting scars there, scratches there. So I didn't think too much of it. I think my mother happened to notice, and I told her, I said, well, you know, I keep sliding here and getting hurt. And she said, oh, well, you know, put some cocoa butter on it or something to that effect, probably. So I had that. And then in football, I broke my middle finger. And it was kind of a bad break, but where it broke and the skin was lost, I had some white spots there as well. Didn't think anything of them. Went on to college. Those spots remained essentially the same for the next 2 to 3 years. And so very minimal. Didn't think anything of it.
Right.
And so then, well into my early 20s, those spots on my arm grew to the size where it was my whole elbow. Had lost pigmentation. And then that whole finger had lost pigmentation. So, you know, I think I probably showed it to my mother as well. She's like, well, you should probably see a dermatologist. I at this point, I lived in Atlanta. I went to a dermatologist. I actually had a pretty good experience. She said, nope, you have vitiligo. You know, she kind of explained some to me. She said there are several treatments. You know, we do a light box treatment, and several other things, but she said, I think for you, because it's so minimal, let's try with the steroid, topical steroid solutions and the creams. So we did that, and actually all my pigment returned. And
oh, wow.
All my pigment returned in all of those places, on my hands, my arms. I didn't really have anything on my face at that point. And so I literally thought that was the end of it. And my pigment returned lasted for about almost 3 years. And then it came back with a vengeance at that point.
Right. And you know, hold on, Justin. You know, I've heard people say that. There's a few people I've talked to in the community where they've repigmented, and then when vitiligo came back, like you said, back with a vengeance, and it was like, I'm going to take everything away. And I find that interesting. Yeah, and I guess, you know, that's one thing we're learning about vitiligo is different for every person, you know, and how it spreads is totally different. And it's unpredictable, you know, it's going to do what it wants to do. Now,
it does, yes.
Yeah, definitely. What treatment did you do beyond that? I know you did the topical cream, and you will offer some other things, but did you ever do any additional treatment?
I never did. I was told to spend some more time in the sun.
Right.
Get vitamin D. But I never – and honestly, I will say at the time, the probably – one reason I didn't try the light box treatment is because it was the one treatment at the time not covered by my insurance. And
in order
to do that, it was something astronomical for a recent college graduate that, you know, at the time, I had health insurance, but whatever that cost was something I could not afford.
Absolutely. And that's why I stopped using the cream, actually, because it was more expensive than what I was willing to pay, and I felt like it wasn't doing anything for me. You know, I was using it, and, you know, I'm thinking, oh, yeah, it's going to work, and I'm looking, and I'm going, well, spots getting bigger, but it's not, you know, disappearing. Later in life, I was offered, like, there's the light box, and I was also offered there's a laser treatment here, and that was here in Raleigh. I was offered that, and I said, "Nah, I'm good. I don't want the laser. I don't want the light box." You know, although I wasn't quite comfortable yet. Do me a favor, Justin. Turn your. I think if you have a radio or anything on, turn it down just a little bit. We're getting just a little bit of feedback.
Really, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I don't have anything on.
Oh, and you know what? And that happens sometimes. And I always tell our listeners, I said, look, we're using technology. We're at home. These things happen. You know, I had to put the dog out because the dog was barking. So all these things happen, and we're going to still roll with it, you know, because this is a live show. Just in case our listeners don't know, we are going live, so it's not pre-recorded. It's not edited. You know, we do things as we are going through them. So, and I'm cool with that. Let's talk about some of the effects on the family and friends. We'll talk about relationship stuff later. As you're starting to develop your vitiligo, what was the reaction or interaction with family and friends?
With family and friends, really no interaction. I mean, no change. That time, like I told you, when it came back with a vengeance, a lot of, family would say, oh, and it was strangely enough, I guess my family was pretty well versed. They all knew it was a vitiligo. You know, a lot of friends and other people I'll meet don't know what vitiligo is. But family all knew, and you know, there was honestly no change. And even with friends, there was honestly no change.
Right, and that's good. That's helpful because I know, like I said, I've talked to several people in our community, and it's different for every person. You know, if you got a strong family support system, strong friend support system, you know, they understand, and they kind of know what you're going through and support you through it. But realistically, it's not like that for every person. You know, sometimes your family could be your worst enemy, or your friends could be your worst enemies. And I say, even for myself, I've never really had any issues with my family or friends, but sometimes it's the associates who don't know how to talk about vitiligo to me. You know, you can tell they want to say something. They give you that look, but they don't know what to say. And so in the workplace, how was that? Did you experience any challenges or anything in the workplace?
No, not in the workplace. You know, yet at that initial time, no, not really. And I'll add this to the story too. When it did come back, at the time I was doing, you know, I was getting into some, not quite bodybuilding, but powerlifting. So I was trying to find all the legal, like, supplements you could find at that time. So actually, I started doing some topical testosterone and some, like, HCS. It's kind of like a human growth hormone, but the legal version. And I'm not sure I'm not sure if that's allowed at this point. But oddly enough, those things helped. So,
cool.
So it was weird. I had all these fluctuations where, so maybe a year or so on that, my skin cleared up again, pigment. I was repigmented, so it was strange. I remember going to a doctor, and this doctor telling me that he's like, he's seen the effects with testosterone on men and women. Now he says a lot of women wouldn't want to take testosterone, but he has seen that effect with vitiligo and other autoimmune disorders. He has seen testosterone help in those situations. So you know, it was like I said, really up until after 2010, you could tell it was there, but it would seem like for so many years it had come, and then I'd get repigmented, or it would come back in places that weren't noticeable with clothing on. So it really wasn't I didn't get the true reactions I got from people. So the only time I'm fortunate. I've never had too many bad reactions. You know, I have people, like we all have, come up to you. You know, I a lot of East Indian people I meet will come to me and say, "Oh, someone I know someone before I moved to the States in India, or have lots of family in India." And so there, I've had people ask me, you know, strange questions. Did you get acid poured on you, or were you struck by lightning? You know, strange questions like that. And then the opposite, you know, people, "Oh, your skin is so beautiful." You know,
right.
It's the, you know, I've never, and I know we'll talk about this, I guess, later too, as we get into relationships and other stuff, but I'm fortunate. Like, I feel like my identity was secured before vitiligo. I didn't have to grow up with it as a child, so I know it's a lot more difficult if you were a child and went through school with it. So by the time it really took its effects, you know, I'm in my late 20s or 30s, and so there's, you know, I'm not going to, if you had something strange to say to me, I'm not going to take it the way a child would take it. And I was fortunate in that aspect.
There was a different aspect. So looking at vitiligo, because like we said, so a lot of times we share the worst side of it. And what I'm hearing from you, it's not always bad, which is, I think we need to hear that as a community, because some of us do have good experiences, you know, like the people saying, "I love your skin." And there are some people that really like the way our skin looks. You know, I work in a school system, and kids are funny. They're hilarious. You know, I've heard things. No one has ever said, "I hate your skin." Well, I did have a little girl say she didn't like my skin. And I said to her, "It's not for you to like, but it's for me to love." And then I couldn't get her to stop talking to me. And can I touch your skin? Can I? And I'm like, okay. But, you know, you talked about being struck by lightning. You know, the kids at school thought I had superpowers. And, you know, kids are amazing the way they think outside the box. And I told the child, no, I don't have, you know, superpowers. And I should have played up to it, but I'm like, no, I don't have superpowers. But then you have kids that are fascinated because I've been called, you know, as a kid at school said, hey, Mr. B, did you know that you are black and white? And I'm like, yeah, I'm camouflage, you know. So, you know, you play with it, you know. And I was at a point in my life where I can do that. A few years ago, I couldn't have done that. You know, I would have felt some type of way. So everybody in our community is in a different place, you know. And like you said, you had your own identity. You knew who you were. So you were able to navigate through it a little differently than some of us. I would say for myself, I went through some challenges, you know, just accepting myself. Now, let's move forward a little different. So do you do any type of advocacy work for vitiligo or speaking engagements and things like that?
Yeah. So over the last, not to make story too drawn out, but so I think in 2014 or 15, many people in the community know Perry Whaley, and I believe Perry's been on your show. I believe,
yes, he
before
has.
As well. Mm-hmm. So I was getting my car service or something, and you know, if you know Perry, you of course know big personality, you know his voice. And so he came up to me and was like, you know, so was and asked me about my vitiligo. And you know, when you meet Perry, it's clearly noticeable his vitiligo. And he asked me, what am I doing in the community? Who am I speaking to? And I was like, no one. I'm just living my life. And he said, well, he said, you need to be out here with us. So he invited me to meet Natasha and some of the other people with Vitiligo Bond here in Atlanta.
Right.
And so I started speaking and meeting with them. At the time, I owned a production studio in Atlanta where we shot a lot of just industrials. And industrials are like corporate training videos, you know.
Okay.
Shot some music videos, so those kind of things that could be shot in-house in studio. So they were like, well, this is great. Are you doing anything with vitiligo? And I said, not at the moment. We're trying to keep the lights on and those kind of things. So I said, well, how can I be of service? So I started shooting some. At the time, we did a vitiligo PSA, and then I did some photo shoots with vitiligo members. And so started getting more involved in the community. And then at that point, they said, hey, we're going to have our first ever World Vitiligo Day here in the States in Washington, D.C., and I believe this was 2015.
Right.
So, well, great. And they said, can you get a team of people to cover it, you know, like video, photo-wise? Yeah, not a problem. So we shot that. And then coming up with the game plan for that and speaking to other people in the community, I said, wow, there needs to be – I would love to do a documentary featuring you know, this talking about our stories, and everybody's story is so different, and just shedding light on what vitiligo is. I mean, unfortunately, most people in our community can't even give you a strong definition. You know, they don't know that autoimmune that is tied to arthritis and different autoimmune disorders. So, you know, putting that together, and unfortunately, sad to say that we still have not finished the documentary. This has become a passion project that I've been working on the last 5 years, and you know, the ups and downs outside of the project have made it not come to fruition yet, but something we're still, you know, working on. But during the process of that, along with Perry would speak at schools, and he would say, hey, can you come speak at a school with me? Or I can't be at this school. Can you help me out? And so I had worked in the school system for Atlanta Public Schools at one point during my professional career. So I had connections there. And then especially in 2016 and 17 when just a change in our society here in America where you saw a lot of the anti-bully PSAs, anti-bully.
Right.
A lot of the essential reactions or essential changes due to social media in our world, schools started having these programs. So there might be a child in a wheelchair or a child with another disorder, and then it might be me. And they say, hey, can you come speak to our elementary school on how people are different and why kids are different and how we should love and respect everybody. So from that, I did start speaking at a lot of schools at that point.
Good. Let me back up. You mentioned the convention. What was your convention experience like? Because I haven't been to a convention yet. I got canceled out due to COVID, 2019. That would have been my first convention. And it looks like 2019. I wasn't a part of the group in 2019. Got canceled out 2020 due to the pandemic. 2021 looks like we're going to get canceled out again. So I feel like I've missed three opportunities. So for those of us who haven't been to a convention, just kind of give us an overview of the atmosphere and what it's like to be around so many people in our community.
Oh, it was great. It was great being around so many people, learning, finding out other people's stories, talking to children, seeing people that have made the I won't say the most of it, but have not let it hinder, their life. You see people have lost nearly 100% of their pigment and how they cope with it. And then you see people that, haven't lost that much, but it's where they have lost it affects them. You see people that all the pigment they've lost is literally from their neck and shoulders up and nowhere else. It's just, it's not something that's predictable where it's going to come or how it's going to hit, how it's going to affect you. So meeting those people. And then part of with the couple years we've been there and filming the documentary, I had people just ramble off what's the strangest thing somebody says to you. So we have tons of footage of people just weird stories like, hey, did you, like I said, struck by lightning? Were you hit by a car?
Yeah.
The strangest thing people say to them. And, I personally try to find humor in that, and I try to tell them, look, it's a stranger. You can't let, you can't let that thing be, because, we live in a world where even if you didn't have vitiligo, if you were overweight or you did a certain economic class, people are going to say something to you regardless. And so you can't let that get to you. So I enjoyed it. I guess the thing I'm not supposed to say, but I'll say, I wish it was over the years. I wish it has been more organized, and I wish we could join up everybody in the States, because there's so many fractions of vitiligo groups, and the power we would have if we could all get on the same page. And I know that's easier. Trust me, I know it's easier said than done, because people are people. But if we could work on some agendas together and not be so fractioned, I think that would be a beautiful thing.
And, I think we're on that path. And I'm going to mention this during my announcements, why I say that. But what I'm going to do, we're going to take a brief break. Don't go anywhere. I have a few announcements to give out, and then we're going to come back to the conversation, and I'll jump into why I think we are on the verge of that coalition across all the different groups. But I have several announcements to make for our listeners out there about what we're doing in the vitiligo community. March 18th, that is a Thursday, Valerie will have her podcast with author Lori Mitchell. That's at 12 noon. Sunday, March 21st, I will have my next podcast with Lawrence Wingate at 2 o'clock p.m. Tuesday, March 23rd, Valerie will interview Angie McAdoo at 12 noon. Then on March 26th, that is a Friday, we have a Meet the Board Zoom event. Our Zoom events are designed for us to get together, to laugh, have fun, just cut up a little bit and kind of forget about the struggles of the week and everything else, all the challenges. So the Meet the Board event is where you can meet the Vitiligo VitFriends board and talk to us, get to know us a little bit, but we're also going to do play some games. We're going to have a music challenge. So that means start listening to your songs from the 70s, 80s, 90s, current times, across genres, because we are going to play a little game where you're going to have to name that tune or name that name those lyrics. So name that tune or name those lyrics. So go ahead and refresh up on your music. So you can join us by registering on our Facebook page. That is through VitFriends. And you can watch us on Facebook Live as well. So we always try to do something where we once a month where we can just really enjoy each other's company and reach out and just sometimes just be silly because we need it. March 19th, the North Carolina Vitiligo Support Community will sponsor, that's a Friday, a mindfulness and meditation event, and it is free to everyone, featuring Keon Holmes. That is 6 o'clock p.m. All this is Eastern Standard Time. With the mindfulness and meditation, we want to do something for our community where we can just kind of relax a little bit and, you know, get ourselves focused. And it is a free event. The flyer is on our North Carolina page, the support community page, and it has the link to how you can join us through Google Meeting. But those are the announcements that I have. But I want to talk about something to get back to our conversation, which is really, really important. March 8th, we had the FDA vitiligo meeting, and it was a huge, I say historic event, because we had over 1,000 people registered that attended this event. And I sat on as a panelist, and it was, like I said, hosted by the FDA, so I want to say thank you to our government for actually listening to our stories. And we had not just our panelists, but we had our conversation starters. We had the doctors that were there that asked a few questions. And we had other people on the back end listening, like research organizations and pharmacists and, you know, researchers, and you just name it. And it was such an honor to be amongst our family members and to hear them share their stories and how vitiligo has affected or changed their lives. And I think it was very important for the FDA to hear it, but also for us as a community to hear us share our stories. And that's what I was thinking, that this might be what's going to bring all of our different organizations together across the U.S. and across the world, because it was everybody included. We had people speaking from other countries and, you know, all around the United States. And I mean, it was just great. People called in on the phone to share their stories. It was emotional, and people were just very honest about their struggles. And we had people crying on the call. And, you know, I think it was just wonderful for us to hear and see the realness of our condition. And it was good for the FDA to see and hear it as well. So, Justin, that's what I'm thinking. I agree with you that all of our groups should be working together and not feel like we have to compete against each other, because this is not a competition. We're here to support each other and care for each other and to help spread awareness. Any thoughts beyond that, Justin, where what are some things maybe we can do to kind of bridge that gap?
I think it's all of the groups and all of the people having some roundtable discussions and forums at the next World Vitiligo Day. I think maybe
right.
If we're in the same rooms or on the same calls, that helps.
Right.
Because it's like with VitFriends, you guys have so much going on, but if you're not tuned in to VitFriends and you're with Vitiligo Bond or Vitiligo California,
right,
or one of the other groups, you just may not know. And there's some groups
right,
that
absolutely
don't have the resources, don't have the manpower, where they just don't have a lot going on. So if that's in your area, you just assume, oh, there's nothing happening with the vitiligo movement because there's nothing happening in your area. So it's the awareness, is getting everybody on the same page. And please, if someone's listening and there is, I don't know, is there message boards or do we have a website that includes information from all the groups? If not, maybe that's something we need. Like,
that's
I don't
something,
know.
Right.
There very well could be, and I just I'm unaware. But something like that would be great, because when I hear you talk about all the things going on with VitFriends and the different podcasts, the interviews, the events you guys are having, I am in my bubble in Georgia. I am so unaware
right.
of what's going on in these other places.
And you know, one thing we're trying to do with our podcast too is reach across the group lines and bring other people in, you know. Hey, come and share your story, you know, talk about your group, talk about, you know, what's happening there or your challenges. And I think that's another way to utilize technology to in our favor, and not meaning VitFriends, but as a community to reach everyone. You know, if you know somebody, hey, that wants to come on and they might live in, I don't know, I'm just going to say Oklahoma, and they have a group, hey, let them reach out and talk, because that way people that are listening can say, oh, I didn't know they had a group there, or I didn't know they were doing this there. But like you said, too, we are in our bubble. And I can admit, I was in my bubble for a while because I didn't know there were support groups out there. I knew about North Carolina, but I didn't know about the larger community. I didn't know about VitFriends. I knew North Carolina because they kept giving me cards and trying to get me to come to the meetings. I kept saying no. Until 2019, I finally decided to show up, and then that's when I found out, oh, wow, there's a bigger organization, is VitFriends, and then I learned about the Global Vitiligo Foundation. So I'm still learning. I feel like I'm still in my infancy, but I'm still learning about the different organizations and different people out here. And I do want to say to our listeners, regardless of what group you belong to, we're still family. So talk to each other as family. And that's one of the things we're trying to do in North Carolina. When we have an event, we open it up to everybody, because it's not just for North Carolina. You know, we're not going to be stingy and say it's only for us. It's for everybody. You know, come and join us. And that's how we get to know people. So let me ask about this. You are a man of many, you wear many hats. You call yourself the Grindpreneur, correct?
Yes.
Talk about that. Talk about what you do, your book, and all those things. You know, this is your time to shine. Just talk.
Well, thanks. So, yeah, I do go by the Grindpreneur. So, and aside from, you know, the vitiligo work, you know, I guess my purpose in life is trying to help people get out of their way and get started. You know, we you know, our time here on Earth is very short, but it could be very long if you're unhappy for those 70 years or however many years you're blessed to be here. You could be very unhappy if you're just not happy. And so,
right.
And so there's a lot of ways to be happy. The one area I focus on is doing what you want to do in life. You have a goal. Do you have a dream? Do you have a passion? Is your passion sneakers, and you thought you can never have a job or pay your bills doing something with sneakers? Well, then I'm here to tell you that you can. You know, what do you, and the title of my book is, what do you want to do? So what is it you want to do? Do you want to do sneaker reviews online and get paid for it? If so,
right.
I can help you do that. Do you want to cook chicken dinners out of your house and sell them, you know, door to door? If that's what you want to do, I can help you. So, I mean, and I know my focus is narrow. It's just the business aspect. You know, there's lots of other things you can do to help yourself get happy and feel whole. But if you feel like you're stuck in a dead end position, or you feel like you're just not fulfilled, we live in an age where there is more technology on your smartphone. And I'm not talking about, it doesn't have to be a Samsung. It doesn't have to be an Apple.
Right.
Just your average $45 smartphone you would get today has more technology on it than the Apollo 11 that sent astronauts to the moon in 1969.
Wow,
so
right.
You have the power in your hand. You can literally run a business in your hand. And we live in a world and a society where even if you're not a fan of social media or apps or other things that have taken over, you know, unfortunately, those things are here to stay. But we live in a world where you can control your own destiny with those things. You can provide for yourself with those things. And we live in a world where we probably need to. You see, just not only mention our political climate, but our climate as far as, you know, people that have money are getting richer. When most Americans took a hit over this last year due to the pandemic, other companies surged. So you need to figure out what it is you're going to do for yourself. And I'm not telling people you can go out there and be a millionaire. It's not even about that. You're probably not a millionaire with your 9-to-5, but if we can figure out another way for you to be happy during that 9-to-5, then maybe that's it. And it's not always about starting a company or being a part, but what is the right job for you? What is the right thing for you to do?
Right.
Do you love to travel? Do you travel already? Well, great. Why not write a blog? Why not film some of these travels? Why not find a way to make it a full-time thing?
I'm going to add something to that real quick. If you're traveling and you're going to a Spanish-speaking country, BitFriends is also hosting Spanish classes starting April 3rd. I meant to mention that earlier, but when she started talking about traveling, I'm like, oh, that's right. We have it's like conversational Spanish where when you're traveling to different countries, you can talk and be able to communicate.
I like that.
We are trying to do classes now. That's something. And it's open to everybody. And it's like $25 for 5 classes. You can't beat that.
Wow.
And
it's
being taught by Madea Cruz from Puerto Rico. She's going to teach the first class April 3rd. Well, she's going to teach the Spanish class. But we're going to do art classes. We're going to have somebody who's going to teach us about wine 101. We're going to have health. So other languages. So we're doing a little bit of everything. And like you're saying, if you could do – technology allows us to do everything. It's there. And we have to have that mindset to get out there to do these things. And even as organizations, like you said, different, you know, groups – we can come together and do things together. You know, it doesn't always have to be separate. Now, let me ask you about relationships, and then I got another few comments at the end, and then I'm going to let you wrap it up with some positive words for our listeners out there. Real quick, though, before I get to the relationship aspect, if somebody wanted to contact you for a speaking engagement, how do they do that?
You know, I can be found at Grindpreneur, and that's at, and then GRINDPRENEUR, like entrepreneur, but Grindpreneur, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, DM me. I am open to that.
Okay.
And I will give out my direct email address as well. My company is Executive Grind, so feel free to always email me at Justin, J-U-S-T-I-N, at Executive Grind, executivegrind.com. So those are the best ways. I am a person. I do check emails. I do check DMs. I will get back to you. And just like we talked about with the business stuff, I book most of my stuff through online. Someone sees me on Instagram.
Awesome.
Someone hears me speak and then contacts me that way. That's the best way.
Awesome. And if anyone wants to call in for our last 20 minutes or so, the number is 516-666-9973. Again, 516-666-9973. And let me share this with our listeners. We don't know who's calling in. However, we will allow callers to call in and address them accordingly when they call, if they call, too. Now, let's talk about relationships. How was your relationship with vitiligo and developing vitiligo? Did it change anything? Did it make it better? You know, just
no change. And maybe it's my own I don't know, blinders, or I would like to say it's my own confidence, my own, you know, I never you know, I guess at times, not only in a bit of LIGO, I've throughout my life been in great shape. I've had money. I've had good businesses. I've been overweight. I've been down. I've been depressed. I've been borderline homeless. So, I mean, there's, you know, there's ebb and flows of life, but I've never let those things get to me. So vitiligo is just a thing. You know, we have things happen to us. Over this last month, I've had found out I had some cataracts and probably some I've pulled from years of being in the sun, not wearing sunglasses. So I was losing my sight. So it's better now. I've had two intense eye surgeries over, throughout February. So I'm getting better, but once again, it was just a thing. You know, people that are you scared? I mean, of course, you're always a little scared having some surgery, but it's a thing. And vitiligo was a thing. So I've never felt like, and I say this not, you know, as coming from any form of arrogance, because everybody should feel this way. I never felt like vitiligo would stop me or keep me from being with any woman I wanted to pursue or felt the same or a woman that felt the same way about me. It's not like I was never going to speak to somebody or pursue somebody because of vitiligo. It never crossed my mind. There was things that I thought being in Atlanta, things I thought way more about than vitiligo. Like, oh man, do I have enough money to talk to this young lady? Or do Is my car nice enough to talk? There was nothing that vitiligo never came into it. I will say I dated this young lady for, you know, maybe we dated almost 2 years and somewhat serious. And this particular lady, she already didn't really want children, but her thing was, she's like, I would never, she said, children with you, won't you be scared that your child would have vitiligo? And, you know, I never, that's the most that's ever come up in a relationship. And if you're out there as a man or a woman and anybody says that to you, you have to dig into, like, you know, in hindsight, she was a bad person anyway. That was probably, you know, when you look back on the situation, that was maybe didn't even make the top five cool or weird things she had said to me throughout the relationship. And that one just happened to be tied to vitiligo. So you got to take a look at who you're dealing with. And so, you know, and of course that was a sign to move on from that person, but no, I mean, I've been in the same relationship and with the same person for the last almost 7 years and we've been married almost 3 years. So, of course, now I don't have to worry about those things, but you know, it's never been a, never been an issue with my wife or our relationship. I don't know if other people have asked her about that, but it's not, like I said, it was never, and I'm fortunate, and I don't want to speak in generals, like, because I feel this way, everybody should feel this way, but I'm definitely empathetic to and sympathetic to people that do go through these, and when I meet people with vitiligo, as I have been for the last 6 years, and men and women talk to me and tell me their relationship woes, and I'm always, with a lot of the women, I'm always so, like, surprised because I meet so many beautiful people that say, oh, I don't think I'm going to talk to them. Unfortunately, normally it's a confidence thing because in my head, I was like, I guess you don't see what or know what other men or people are thinking about you. But I will say this, I think you and I discussed this offline before. It's, and just my, what I come across, I run into way more men with vitiligo that have these angst and have these doubt and confidence than I do with women. And I think I know why. The non-PC way to say it is because I think men look at, I hate to say it, but I think men, you know, someone having vitiligo may not change, won't change, oh, they're not physically attractive to me based on other things. And I think when men approach women, they're not really seeing that. And I'm sure there's some cases and people have been in bad situations. But it's men think about it way more. And maybe, you know, women, and I like to think, too, that a lot of times people can have a bad, you know, I can't trust men or women because my last person cheated on me, and they cheated on me because I had vitiligo. No, maybe they didn't cheat on you because you have vitiligo. Maybe they were just a bad person. They just cheated on you.
Right.
You can't.
And sometimes that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And so people have to get out of their own way.
Right.
Because prior to vitiligo, or with vitiligo, and I'll say prior to being married or in a relationship, I was charming. I had all the same qualities I had with or without vitiligo. So I never thought that would stop anybody from speaking to me or wanting to be with me.
Right.
So.
And sometimes it's, like you say, it's us. It's not necessarily the other person. It's how we view ourselves and what we're dealing with at that time. And I was writing down something as we're talking. I said levels. There are different levels to vitiligo sometimes. This is not for everybody, you know, but it's just my thoughts. I said, you know, we go through that first stage, which is observation and concern. You know, we see it. We want to know what it is. We're concerned. We go to the doctor. We try to find out it's vitiligo. And then the next stage comes that, for some people, if not everybody, you know, fear and isolation, fear of how much is it going to spread? What's going to happen? You know, what's on my face now? It's on my arms, on my leg. What's going to happen? You know, the unknown. And the isolation comes in. And I played this part. You know, I isolated myself from others because of comments made on, you know, looks and stares. And that's where you become that hermit, so to speak. You stay in the house and don't want to go anywhere, don't want to do this. But I think the stages that we strive to get to when we're ready, and I always say when we're ready because everybody's ready at a different point. The first one is the acceptance security stage, secure, you know, when you accept your condition. I have vitiligo. This is what it is. This is what it looks like. And you feel secure in yourself, not talking about other people, how they view us, but how we view ourselves. And then that last stage comes through with the breakthrough where we finally say, you know what, I got to live my life and I can't let vitiligo determine what I do and don't do, who I talk to, not talk to. Once you reach that breakthrough stage, I feel like life has a totally different meaning. But the reality is we bounce through some of those stages. You know, I could be confident today and tomorrow I might look in the mirror and go, I can't stand my vitiligo. But then an hour later, I'm outside with my shorts. You know, so I think some of us bounce through all those different stages, maybe all in one day. But there are some people that may be stuck. And I want us as a community to continue to embrace our brothers and sisters who are not there, but embrace them and support them when they're ready. Because I often say, if a person is not ready, we're going to push them and we're going to push them over the edge, and we don't want to do that. Or we're going to pull them. We're going to pull them where we feel like they should go, and then we're going to let go of their hand, and they're not ready, and that does damage to them. What we want to do as a community, men, women, all of us, is to walk side by side with our brothers and sisters that are going through the challenges, even those who are confident, because that confidence can leave tomorrow. You know, we have our different struggles, and it's not always tied in. Like I said, it's not always tied into vitiligo, but we still want to walk side by side with each other and support, you know. But, yeah, that was just my thought. I was just like, we go through all these different levels. Biggest goal is to love each other.
Yeah, that has to be the biggest goal because you can't change it. And like I said, it's not, and there's several people, and you and I talked about some people that we know within the community that have been going through lots of angst and different things. But I was thinking back, and I had a conversation with one of these people recently. So years ago, I think I mentioned before, I played a little basketball in college. I ended up getting hurt. I ended up tearing an ACL, messing up my knee. Came back next year, ended up tearing everything in my other knee, in my right knee. So from there, I was a little down. That essentially is what ended my college career. So I was down. I went from about 180 pounds to about 340 pounds.
Wow.
And so partially from being down in the press, secondly, because After messing up both knees, I was really limited on physical activity I could do.
Right.
Somewhat a coworker, you know, just trying to be helpful, said, hey, you know, I go to these Weight Watchers things and you can bring somebody for free. Why don't you come with me? You can learn some tips on how to get healthy. And, you know, of course, I was like, well, I know how to get healthy. I'm just not doing it. But, of course, I went in there. And so meeting with people that were – and it was all in their – you know, some people were maybe 20 pounds overweight but felt the world was over. There was people that were what we consider morbidly obese in these classes, 600-700 pounds, and they were fighting – literally fighting for their lives at this point. But these conversations that I would have – that people in those groups had in the group chats with that. And I was only in there for a little while because I did find my way back into shape and exercising properly. But those are the same, literally the same discussions I have with many of the people in our vitiligo community. So that's one of the reasons that told me it's we're tying it to vitiligo, but it's something else within too.
Right.
I mean, it's great to put it on the vitiligo at this point. This is why I can't find somebody, or I'm afraid this is going to happen. But if you replace vitiligo with being overweight, it's the same exact conversation.
Absolutely.
So it's getting to that whatever else is underlying there. And, you know, it's not something I can say, well, I have confidence. You should have confidence. I definitely know it's not that easy. And sometimes it's going to require a lot more than just what we can lend as a peer, you know. It may involve some real therapy or some real help. But, you know, I'm here to tell you that because you see it, most of the people aren't seeing it. You don't know if that's the reason why they're staring or if they are even staring. I always looked at it like I was glad at times I had vitiligo, because it helped me get a meeting. It helped that person at an event, networking event I was at. When I shook their hand, it helped them remember me when I had to place that awkward call 3 weeks later. Hey, I met you at this event. And they're like, well, I met 100 people. I was the guy with the vitiligo. And Justin, I remember you. So I try to look at the positives. And, you know, throughout my life, and throughout the different facets of my career, you know, a lot of times I figured, you know, it's not even a vitiligo. They're staring at me because I'm probably the only black guy in this room at times.
True.
Or they're staring at me because I'm the youngest guy in this room. Or they're staring at me because I'm at this event and I got a bunch of jewelry on and some Jordans. So that's why they're staring at me. So, I mean, it's
right.
you got to figure out what it is. And so I look at it like that. There's a positive to everything. I know that, you know, that maybe this landed me some meetings or helped me secure a deal I would have not got if I wasn't memorable. So you have to find those, you know, to build upon those things, the positive.
Absolutely. And you know, and I always say when I talk to different people that it's important that you love yourself first. You know, for our members who are looking for love, you know, and everybody wants to be loved, you know. Even the crankiest person, I don't want nobody. Look, men and women go through, we want someone, but we just don't want to go through the hurt and the pain of, you know, that cycle. You meet somebody, doesn't work. You meet somebody, doesn't work. You know, we don't want to go through that. But I feel like we all want to be loved. And it's a lesson I had to learn for myself. I have to love me. I have to be confident in myself. I have to bring myself up with high self-esteem. Nobody else can do it for me. You know, when I look in the mirror every morning, I often say the first person that's going to say I love you will be me. So I'm looking in the mirror. I got to make sure I tell myself I love you, you know, and be real about it. You know, no matter how many spots I have or my hair looks messed up, so what? Still love yourself, you know. Nobody's asking, never ask yourself for perfection. Just love you, you know, love every aspect of you. Although it may be challenging at times, I do understand that, you know, we have a condition that it creates those insecurities. Maybe if we didn't have vitiligo, I wouldn't be insecure, but still embrace it all. You know, when you're ready, at your time, embrace it. And I feel like when you start loving you, other people take notice. One of my buddies, he hit me up on Facebook one day. He said, "Man, you're shining. You're glowing." And I didn't get what he was saying, but I was at a stage where I have accepted vitiligo. And I said, vitiligos have to go. It has to travel with me. It's got to live with me. So everything I'm doing now, I just take my vitiligo with me. Whereas before, it was taking me with it. It's like, nah, you're not going to the beach. You're not going to the pool. You're not going to that event. You're just going to stay at home. And I said, nah, I can't do that. That's not who I am as a person. You know? But Justin, time is almost up. I'm going to let you say a word of encouragement to our listeners out there, to our members, and then I'll wrap things up, and then that'll be the end of our podcast. So it's on you.
So, a little while ago, I asked all of my friends about vitiligo as I get more involved into the group and working with others, and overwhelmingly, friends and family say, yeah, I don't even, when we talk or interact, I don't even notice it. They're like, it's not something that we think about, and if you're thinking about it, I was just curious. I wasn't so much thinking about it, but everybody overwhelmingly said, if you're thinking about it, that's on you. We don't notice it. It's not something that comes to the forefront of our minds. So that's what I want to make sure I leave everybody with, that if it's on the forefront of your mind or it's holding you back or keeping you from something, it's not the vitiligo. That's on you, because I guarantee you that you are thinking about it way more than anyone else is thinking about it. And so don't let that be the reason that keeps you from living your best life. And just like with the other things that I go around the country teaching people, whether it's vitiligo or not, that you have to get out of your own way. Like, they're everything you need to live your best life is probably right in front of you. And you are not, and you are shying away from it or running away from it. And so, you know, we, the community, myself, we want to do everything to help you be the best person you can be. Vitiligo, not vitiligo, whatever the case is. And a lot of it starts right with yourself, right with your head, you know, and getting out of your own way. So if I can leave you with anything, it's that, you know, please get out of your own way. Speak to somebody. Email me, DM me. We can talk. We can help figure it out. Figure out what it is you want to do and what's holding you back. And you'd be so surprised that whatever you think is holding you back is probably – in the scheme of things, so minuscule, so tiny, that once you can get over that hurdle, you know, your best life is in front of you.
Absolutely. And Justin, I greatly appreciate you coming onto my show today. It was a great conversation, and we'll definitely stay in contact. And like I always tell my guests, I look forward to meeting everybody one day, because I haven't met anybody in person yet. But to our listeners, thank you for listening in. And like Justin said, if you need somebody to talk to, you can reach out to Justin. You can send me a message on Facebook. You can reach out to Valerie. We have so many people within the community and outside of the community that you can talk to. But enjoy your Sunday. If you're in the area where the weather's beautiful, get out, get some fresh air with the mask. Remember the social distance and love somebody today. Love somebody tomorrow. Everybody take care and remember to love. Have a great day. Thank you, Justin.
Thanks again.
You're welcome.